She's just a girl and she's on fire. And she's not backing down.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If it doesn't suck, if it doesn't hurt, if there isn't a sting, we're probably not super committed to it. It's supposed to rip your heart out. When you're in love with a team, when you are a fanatic, which is the full word of fan, it's not supposed to feel good. It's supposed to be painful. But you know, those awful, devastating, brutal losses, the ones that feel like gut punches, make the victories so much sweeter.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
This girl is on fire.
I am actually looking forward to breaking at the Olympics. Not breaking news, breaking, which is what they shorten breakdancing to for the purposes of the Olympics. Haven't seen it yet. It debuts in a couple days. Brand new Olympic sport. So if breakdancing can be an Olympic sport, then we, as Americans who have special talents and skills and abilities, we too can have our own Olympics. Fill in the blank. If this skill, if this talent, if this part of my regular mundane routine were in fact an Olympic sport, I would capture gold every time. I put this up on Monday evening, just kind of playing around. And by the time I logged into my Twix again, the comments were off the chain. So thank you for buying in and for playing along. Although I'm a little concerned with the number of you who've decided that some type of bodily function is the skill that would capture gold for you every time. No one wants to see that. No one wants to hear that. And definitely no one wants to smell that. 855-212-4227. You can also find me online at A-Law Radio. Because I can't blow up the feed of the number of people who follow me with all of your crazy talent, skills, and abilities, I'm not retweeting, but I will retweet the actual post so that you can go and read the thread. It's pretty funny. Or if you check it out on Facebook, you then can see all of the answers of the community, if you will. It doesn't take a village around here. It takes a community. It's After Hours on a night in which I will confess I yawned on the air. Now, I can't tell you the truth and say it's the first time ever, but I will tell you it's the first time I've ever been caught in a yawn on the air. Usually I could cover them pretty well. But I see the power of suggestion. I'm saying the word. My brain's starting to think about it. I'm having to turn my brain. Turn it. Oh, look at the Lions and the Giants getting into a skirmish with a red jersey right in the middle. That's going to keep me from thinking about Y-A-W-N. But now I've got a good idea. If yawning were an Olympic sport, I would capture gold every time. Nah. I've got one that none of you will be able to quibble with. As much as I wish I could say cooking chili, baking island cookies, oh, being Penny's mom, being a dog mom. As much as I wish that I could come up with something like that, there is literally one thing in my life that I do better than anyone I know. And I don't know that it's that big of a surprise. I just know that if I don't give this answer, well, how can you take me at my word ever again? It's coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Beck is in Florida. Beck, if blank were an Olympic sport, you would capture gold every time.
Me? I haven't really thought that deep into it. Shout out to Nick on the decks. But speaking of food and the Olympics, and you, us being both living outside of H-Town now permanently and everything, that kind of maybe tie both of them together. Granted, we both live in good food places, too, NYC, South Florida. But when you go back to H-Town slash Texas or whatever, what are you, what goal or medals would you hand out of specific foods and or, I guess, maybe a specific restaurant or something?
Well, I wouldn't do specific restaurants because that's not fair. I've not tried them all, but certainly pulled pork and beef brisket. Those are two, we'll call them skills, two skills that Texans have when it comes to food.
So just with me, I guess, because Mexican food here, if we had Taco Cabanas, which obviously is a fast food chain, that would be the best Mexican restaurant, you know, food here in South Florida of what
really?
I've had. So, out there, and barbecue. The barbecue scene in South Florida is horrible, too, but obviously Texas is, you know, top of the map. So, again, I guess if we keep it that way, I guess Mexican, I guess, would get the gold, barbecue would get the silver, and then bronze. I mean, I don't know. I mean, of course, I got to hit up some Jack in the Box right when I get out of Bush Airport and or Taste of Texas, going specifics. But, again, I guess it's blasphemy to say I was never really a big Whataburger fan, but they had those in Tallahassee, so it's not like I didn't miss out of needing, like, a specific, you know, thing of going back home, seeing family, and being like, oh, we got to go on a food tour here, you know.
Well, I'm impressed that you and Andy Reid have got all of these different burger joints down. I don't know that I've tried them all. Some of them, for sure, but not all of them. Not much of a fast food person anymore. However, yeah, there's certainly a lot to offer, and if burgers is your thing, you have so many different ways you can go.
Well, burgers, not just that specific chains, because we don't have them here. I'm not a big fast food person either, but are you a big pizza person living in the NYC, I guess somewhat people would call that in the top notch of pizza places. Do you have any good pizza places in H-Town?
If you're a thin crust person, yes, the Northeast, New York City area, New Jersey is where you go. I don't know that we have much pizza when I'm in Houston. I would say for the most part, the pizza is up here and the barbecue is there. Also, good catfish.
When you go back there, you don't want to get pizza. But, I mean, when you lived there, whatever else, I think Brothers was on there on the day when he does his pizza reviews. A couple of years ago, he reviewed Brothers Pizza. And I've heard a lot of people have said, you got to check out Brothers.
So. Gotcha. I don't remember the last time I had pizza.
Well, you have a good one. Sorry to take up your time and everything. And good luck with the search and everything else in the future. And hopefully maybe here again in the future. But thank you for everything.
Thank you, Beck. I appreciate your phone call in Florida. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Every now and then I get either calls or posts that say something along the lines of, your show isn't on in my area anymore, or my local affiliate changed formats or changed affiliations. You can always listen. I'm here to tell you, you can always listen to the show. If you have a smartphone, which the vast majority of you listening do have a smartphone, it's easy to find the show. There's a variety of apps. You can listen online, and they are free. That's how my husband listens. That's how my mom listens. That's how most of my friends hear the show. When I send them links, that's what they use. But you can also listen via device or a desktop, a laptop. Any way that you want to, if you're in your vehicle, same thing. We're on SiriusXM. We're on a bunch of different apps that you can stream. If you don't have the ability to, or you don't want to listen when the show is live, it is easy to follow it via podcast. And so that's also available on all of our social sites. No excuses. I don't want to hear how you're stuck listening to something else, because that is absolutely not true. 855-212-4227. Therese on Facebook. If losing your keys were an Olympic sport, gold medal, ! I like it. I don't know that the New York Giants are poised to win an Olympic medal in anything, not even flag football. I'm still a little concerned about these Giants. And now, even with Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones being back, there are a lot of question marks about how the season's going to go. They do have some really impressive players. They've got guys that'll be Pro Bowlers, maybe even all pros. But do they have a team that can win, especially when you're talking about the NFC East? I know the Eagles fell off the map last year. I wouldn't expect that to be the case again this season. The Cowboys, you all are hit or miss on Dallas. Without CeeDee Lamb, the offense looks a lot different. I can't imagine that he's going to hold out. That, to me, seems like a poor decision on his part. And I'm not singling him out specifically, but anytime, and most of the time, 98% of the time that an NFL player holds out, it's a bad decision for him as opposed to being a bad decision or a detriment to the team. It always hurts the individual player more than it hurts the team, I think, because oftentimes the team has the power. So in the case of CeeDee Lamb, yes, he's extremely valuable. He deserves to be paid. I don't know that it behooves him to sit out a season in the prime of his career. Brandon Ayuk, he's with the team. He's holding in, if you will. Jordan Love was the same situation, holding in, so with the team. So at least he can participate in meetings and be up to speed with everything except for the scrimmaging and the pad practices. So that does certainly put a wrinkle into the Dallas Cowboys' plans, and we'll see how it works moving forward. But the NFC East is competitive, and I don't know where the Giants are going to fall there. I mean, the Commanders, they're changing a lot again. Head coach, ownership, obviously going to try out a rookie quarterback. At least in the preseason, we're going to see Jaden Daniels. We'll see whether or not he's their quarterback of choice when they begin. But yeah, that's a fluid situation as well. The Giants and the Lions are two teams that are coming into the 24 season from opposite ends of the spectrum. The Lions are the it team in the NFL right now. The Lions building on that momentum from last year's NFC Championship game and being able to go into this season with the experience and the confidence and knowing that they have a team that is among the best in the league. Now, in the NFC North, they're going to get some competition from the Packers. The way they finished last season, it was incredible to watch Jordan Love and that offense come together, the way the Packers really gelled through the final 6 weeks of the season. That's going to be a terrific battle in the North Division, so I'm looking forward to that. But the Lions should have sky-high expectations. Dan Campbell has gotten that entire group to buy in a big way. Heart, soul, mind, body, spirit, they are all in with Dan Campbell. And so for them, then you think about the draft and the 750,000 people that were in downtown Detroit setting records and making a lot of noise. Yeah, the fury and the fervor and the faith is high in Detroit when it comes to the Lions. So it's kind of fun to think about the Lions and the Giants out on the field doing joint practices. And I'm just never really sure whether or not I think these are valuable. There are certainly ways that a scrimmage against a different team can help. So instead of seeing your own guys, now you're lining up against guys who don't know your playbook. At the same time, you're keeping things really vanilla because all of these teams are taping and taking notes. So I'm not a huge fan of joint practices. It almost always seems like you've got some kind of a skirmish breakout as well. What you really don't want in a joint practice is for Daniel Jones, your red shirt, red jersey, somewhat fragile, highly paid quarterback who's coming off of a serious injury to be right in the middle of a skirmish at a joint practice in early August. That is not what we're going for here. But there he was getting right. He's walking right into the middle of it, deciding that he wasn't going to allow his teammates to fight his battles or to fight the battles without him. Nah, he was going to stick him, well, all 6'5" of himself, right into the middle of this Lions-Giants brouhaha.
I don't know. situation happens like that, you try to stand up for your guys. But I thought it was good competitive practice all day today, and we made some plays and did some good things. There's some things we need to shore up for sure, but good intensity and competitive spirit today.
He seems nonplussed. Just typical Daniel Jones, who I kind of feel like is a carbon copy of Eli Manning, just without the injuries. A lot of people wondering whether or not he'll be good to go when the season begins, when it kicks off. And, of course, the larger question of whether or not he's worth the contract the Giants gave him. He obviously feels very confident if he's out there in the middle of what turns into what almost look like microbursts. You know, if you think about a storm, and every now and then you'll have a little squall here, and then another squall breaks out over here. For those of you who follow tornadoes or those types of storms, you know that a microburst can pop out of some of these real crazy heavy storms at any point. Yeah, it's like this little spin up of our tornado and a spin up over here. And so it's kind of different pushing and shoving matches in the middle of a larger group of guys. And so I guess if Daniel Jones is willing to go right into the middle of it, well, he's feeling pretty confident where he stands physically.
I'm very, very confident and know I can play at a high level here. So, I understand I need to do that consistently, and we all do if we want to be, go where we want to go as an offense, as a team. So I'm confident in myself. I know I can play at a high level, and I think we got a team and guys who are all confident and can play at a high level also.
Gosh, so much of what the Giants want to do will revolve around him being healthy. And so you don't necessarily want him walking right into the middle of a fight, coming off an ACL surgery late in 2023. There were a bunch of these brouhahas, these scrums, if you will, that broke out between the Giants and the Lions. It was hot in New Jersey. Just trust me, I live about 15 minutes north of MetLife Stadium, and it was the type of heat and humidity that's irritating, that makes you want to hit someone. I'll just be honest. I call it muggy, buggy, no huggy. I don't want anyone to get near me. And think about it. You're out there. You're competing against dudes who are standing in your way, and it's gross out. And no thanks. I'm good. I'm glad that I don't play football, because I would not want to be using that much energy outside in this type of heat. And this is New Jersey. Think about the number of places around the country where the heat is even more extreme. I know in some places they've gone inside even because of heat and humidity, or in the case of Hurricane Debbie, making sure that they're safely indoors. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Daniel Jones and the New York Giants offense, they've got some pieces that I need to see come together. Right. So this whole situation, notwithstanding where it's a bunch of guys who are just irritated out in the sun practicing against one another, the Giants, they want to make sure Daniel Jones is good to go, but they also need to see the leadership from him that they had when they decided they would give him the contract. Remember, it was really because of how he played in a playoff game. I mean, that was the flying high that took him to this new contract. And is there buyer's remorse? Well, you can imagine there probably is some. Now, they publicly have indicated that they want Daniel Jones to be their quarterback. They publicly indicated that they're comfortable with him and they think he's the right leader. But they're going to need him to not only stay healthy, because that's been an issue, but to take off pretty quickly. And then you think about some of the other guys that they've got. Malik Nabers, a lot of excitement around him. How quickly can they come together? Daniel Bellinger at the tight end position. We've seen flashes with him. Certainly they have to protect him. That offensive line has had some major questions, some major injuries for a couple of years now. If the Giants get back to the point where Tommy DeVito is starting, there's a problem. But good for him, because he has earned his keep for another year. It's going to be different, though, for Daniel Jones without Saquon Barkley, who's now a member of the Eagles. So lots of question marks there. But I suppose you could drudge those up with pretty much every team that's out there. A little bit of Dan Campbell coming up just because he's fun. And also, you're filling in the blank. If this were an Olympic sport, I would capture gold every time. I just saw one on Facebook that made me laugh out loud. If snoring were an Olympic sport, I would capture gold every time. I do not snore, regardless of what my husband says. Good morning to you if you're waking up on your Tuesday. All right, let's get it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, Lord. Daniel got jiggy with it. Daniel was out there with it? Yeah. I'm going to need him to back up. I'm going to need him to back up. Let his O-line handle that. But, Daniel, he's a competitor, man. He's a fighter, so I don't expect nothing less from him, but I don't need him in that. I don't need him to get hit. Yeah, keep him healthy.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I'm not sure what's better, Nick's choice of music, little MJ here that fits so perfectly, or the reaction of defensive lineman Brian Burns when one of the media tells him that his quarterback was out there in the middle of the skirmishes at joint practice between the Giants and the Lions. Daniel was out there? Daniel was getting jiggy with it?
And I was actually going to play again jiggy with it, but
nice.
I thought of it too late.
Little Will Smith. Then he reiterates that he's going to need his quarterback to stay out of those situations because he doesn't want his QB to get hurt. And I would think that's the case even if you don't have a QB that's dealt with some serious season-ending injuries. But Daniel Jones, he doesn't want the red jersey to keep him from being a guy who will stand up for his teammates. He doesn't want the red jersey to make him look like he's soft.
I don't think it should. I mean, he's my teammate, and just like he would stick up for me, I'm going to stick up for him.
Okay. He is a big dude. I'm not sure how many people. Well, I take that back. There are probably some people that would like to get a free pot shot in at a quarterback wearing a red jersey because otherwise you can't touch them. In fact, one of the ways that the Giants maybe got heated at the Lions is because they felt like there was a little bit too much contact with their red jersey wearing repaired ACL sporting quarterback Daniel Jones. Even Brian Daboll was annoyed because he felt like there was too much contact or any contact at all with Daniel Jones. Now, Dan Campbell, he's going to be the guy who is the voice of reason, right? He's going to be the one who tells everybody to calm the bleep down.
They got plenty of challenges for us, you know. Between the receiver position, this D-line, I mean, Lawrence is in my opinion, one of the best that's in the game right now to run and pass. I mean, he's powerful, he's strong. You know, the edge, you know, with Thibodeau and Burns over there, that's pretty exciting too, you know, this revamped O-line. So, I mean, we've got tests all over the field.
I like how he mentions different positions. And as a guy who was it tight end? Was he a tight end? I'm going to have to look that up. As a guy who, I know he took a lot of contact when he was in the NFL, but he mentions Burns. He does mention Dexter Lawrence, of course, and then Kayvon Thibodeau, who had a strong season last year despite the criticism that he received in the New York market among fans. How do I know this? Well, because our headquarters are based in New York City and Lower Manhattan. So every now and then I get a dose of complaining about the local teams on New York radio. So for the joint practices, again, I'm not always sold on them. I don't love them. I see the value in them, but I think they're maybe riskier than they are beneficial. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. By the way, if you haven't noticed, Brian Daboll is winning the battle, winning the current battle. I don't know if he'll lose the war, but he's winning the current battle when it comes to losing weight.
I told him he's a chameleon. This guy's unbelievable. I mean, when I was working with him, he looks about like he does now. And then within about 2 months, it was. And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to cut it back. And then all of a sudden, it's like 3 months later, he's back down to, it's unbelievable. And it just, he can, hey, if he decides he's going to do this, he's going to do this. He decides I'm going to let it go, I'm going to let it go. And I love that about him. I mean, he's rare that way. He's a hell of a coach. He is. I mean, you don't do what you did a year ago without being able to coach. So I got a lot of respect for Dave's.
He's giving you the visual for it, the as that he blew up. Well, and it's well documented that when Brian Daboll was with the Browns, he lost 100 pounds, 100 plus pounds in 1 year. Now, he says he hasn't lost that many coming into the season with the Giants, but he will say that he's lost about 50 pounds. Again, that's a lot for your body. What did Dean Campbell call him? A chameleon. Actually, I look up right now and I'm seeing Campbell gesture and demonstrate about Daboll's. He just did the to indicate that Daboll has blown up. Yeah, if you were looking at Brian Daboll from the side or from the back and you didn't know it was him, you would not believe that that was the Giants head coach because of the amount of weight he's dropped. He looks like a completely different person. More than his looks, though. Good for him because this makes him a lot healthier and potentially could add years to his life. Ivan is in Ontario. Ivan, if blank were an Olympic sport, you would capture gold every time.
A meat eating contest.
Ooh,
by weight.
I like it. What kind
now,
of meat?
You mentioned brisket. Anything you want. And I mean, I'm talking brisket. You mentioned that earlier and I started salivating. it's honestly a lifesaver because I'll be honest with you. I'm on a carnivore thing right now. It is nothing but a lifesaver. For anybody out there that wants to improve their health, I could honestly attest to this. I'm talking getting losing weight, getting rid of snoring, getting rid of sleep apnea.
Good
it's
for
happened.
You.
I'm telling you, I know you mentioned that you might be a bit of a snorer.
No. I'm not a snorer. My husband's a snorer.
No. I'm saying if that's what your current husband is telling you,
my current
I'm
husband.
Just saying, if that is, yeah. You try this, my kids could hear me from across the hallway.
Oh, heavens.
Four nights, my wife came and woke me up in my sleep, thinking I was dead.
Oh, no.
She couldn't hear me anymore. She was freaking out. She thought I was dead. Came up to me, shook me in the middle of the night. You know, when you're in your most deepest sleep.
Uh-huh. REM cycle.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, what's going on? She's like, you're okay. I'm like, I am. I'm trying to get some sleep. I'm going to wake up early. And, I mean, I really honestly attest this to for anybody out there. This is the way to go.
So you're just eating meat? That's all you're eating?
I mean, meat, bacon, eggs, and that's it.
Protein.
And butter.
So, and butter. And butter.
I eat butter. And guess what? I've never been more healthier in my life.
Okay.
I'm 44 years old right now.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I'm back in my 20s.
Good for you.
I've lost 48 pounds in just over 3 months.
Well, congratulations.
I want everybody to understand that this is meat is not a form of food that is going to hurt you. It's actually going to heal you.
Mm.
And I cannot say much. You guys can go watch Dr. Sean Baker.
No. No promoting anything that I can't substantiate.
And I shouldn't be doing that, but I'm just saying it's a life changer for anybody out there that wants to change their lifestyle, change the way they are, their health. This is nothing but a benefit.
Well,
and I wish I would a long time ago.
I'm impressed. I'm really impressed. Thank you so much, Ivan, for weighing in from Ontario, and I'm really glad that you're healthy. The thing is, and really it's about calories, right? If you're burning more than you're putting into your body, you're going to lose weight, period. It doesn't matter what type of food you eat, although sugar and sweets and probably butter and other lard, those things can't necessarily make you healthier. But if what you're trying to do is lose weight, well, it's just a matter of eating fewer calories than you burn. That's all it is. You can lose weight a variety of ways. Now, to be healthy, protein, obviously, fruits and veggies, lots of water. I know they say sleep helps you to lose weight as well. That sucks. Maybe that explains my issues. But I have to be intentional about working out. If I don't work out, my stress level shoots through the roof. But also, that's when I become unhealthy. And working overnights, there's articles and studies done that show how, A, you don't sleep well, no matter if you have a darkened room and you take drugs or whatever else. Our bodies are not made to sleep when the sun is up. There's all kinds of science behind it, and not the COVID type of science, but actual science. And then when you think about the cravings of your body when you're tired, sugar, the carbs, that kind of stuff, it's really difficult. I have to be so careful. It's a constant battle for me. So the exercise is what helps for sure. Exercise, and then I can eat moderately what I like to eat without having to completely deny myself. But right now, my husband and I are still in a stretch where we're eating almost no desserts. We enjoyed ourselves right after the wedding, and now we're trying to rein it in and not eat. We'll have a taste every now and then, but for the most part, we're trying to be really healthy and smart over the rest of the summertime. At A-Law Radio on our Facebook page, if blank were an Olympic sport, I would capture gold every single time. That's what we want you to tell us. Your talent, your skills, your abilities. I'm going to go record a sports minute. And then when we return, not only did Harrison Butker get a very rich deal from the Kansas City Chiefs, but you've also got Matthew Judon speaking out for the first time since a couple of heated conversations with new Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo that were well documented. Glad to have you with us. Good morning to you. It's a Tuesday. We survived our Monday. Phew. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you. I love this song. It's catchy and it'll wake you up. It'll give you a pep in your step, I hope, on this Tuesday morning. In a second, I'm going to talk about the New England Patriots and their star linebacker, Matthew Judon. Now, I am a little bit nervous about this weekend because I'm supposed to be in New England, first driving up to Boston to show my husband around Beantown. He's never been, and we have tickets to a Red Sox game. Great tickets. I bought Sean Grandy's tickets. For those of you who know him, he's the longtime play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics. I bought the tickets that he and his wife and his son typically use. But guess what's on the way? The remnants of Debbie. Now, that's not as serious a problem or challenge as having 30 inches of rain in your backyard and your home being flooded, your business is being flooded. I get all of that. I'm not in any way saying that this is a serious matter, only that I'm a little bit bummed because we've had these tickets for a couple months now and the Red Sox are supposed to play my husband's favorite team, the Astros. He is going to wear an Astros hat into Boston. All right. I may or may not admit that I'm with you.
Sounds bad as wearing it to Yankee Stadium, though.
That's true. That is true. And so we're really excited to go. We've got a friend, a high school friend coming down from New Hampshire, and she's making up the third person in our party. I just want it to be not a rain out. At the same time, I don't want it to be a four-hour rain delay, so we just have to be sitting around waiting. But I suppose that's better than not playing at all. Anyway, keeping my fingers crossed about that, but really excited, as always, to be back in New England, especially when I get to make it up into New Hampshire. Live free or die, baby. That's my favorite state. If I could live there and I could work there and do this job, I would, but that's not an option at this point. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page, on Twix at A-Law Radio. If blank were an Olympic sport, I would win gold every time. I could go with moving. If packing and moving were an Olympic sport, I would capture gold every freaking time. I am a master at moving.
So as far as like getting rid of stuff? And
all of it. No, the purging, the packing boxes, the maximizing space, putting it all into a U-Haul or various vehicles. I am brilliant at that. I've got so much practice.
My mom could definitely use your help because she's they're about to move, so.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing for her is like getting rid of stuff. So
I feel like one of my greatest achievements in life was moving in 2020 when, as much fun as it sounds, moving in the middle of a pandemic, let me just tell you, it's more fun than that. And I moved 80% of the house myself. 80%. That's all I did. I worked from home and I packed up boxes and moved them to my new place that I had purchased. Yeah.
Yeah. My mom. Terrific. People try to tell her, like, does this mean anything to you? Like, does this give you joy?
Like, oh, that's the purging
I remember
style.
There was like some show on Netflix, right? With some lady that would say it was all about being like a minimalist or something. Mm-hmm. And she was like, does this give you joy? Do you need this? And like my mom, like goodness. To give you an idea of how bad it is, my mom still keeps taxes from like almost 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago.
I do think that that's the case with a lot of older people, especially if they haven't moved. You just accumulate stuff. But having moved so much over the past 25 years, I purge every time. And so I really don't turn into a pack rat. But if you live in one place for a long time, that can definitely be a challenge. So maybe packing and moving. But I tell you, I still have one answer that will trump them all. So while we're talking about New England, not that I'm going to Foxborough, but we hear for the first time from Matthew Judon, the great outside linebacker for the Pats, who has been the topic of many conversations in the area, in New England, radio and TV, and articles written about it. A conversation that got heated between him and new head coach Gerard Mayo. Now, in the midst of all of this, he's been asking for a renegotiated contract that would pay him more guaranteed money, and he feels like pay him commensurate with what he deserves. And so finally, we end up with his side of the story on Monday.
We had a conversation. I didn't want to be a distraction to the team, so I went inside. I wasn't participating in those drills that day. So I went inside, and then I got a message, so I came back and talked to the GM, our GMs. Then I went back inside. Sorry, I'm animated. I talk with my hands, bro. That's, you know, I'm going to start talking like this and not be so animated.
If talking with your hands were an Olympic sport, I would capture gold every time. Now, I'm Italian, but Matthew and I share this in that people very often mistake my passion and my animation for anger or frustration. There are people who would say to me, including my husband, this has been a major source of conflict for us. I don't mind telling you, we do not communicate the same way. And he will say to me, why are you yelling at me? I'm not yelling at you. This is just how I talk when I get excited. And my friends, some of them, they get very intimidated because their personalities are the opposite. And when I get passionate, not only does my volume go up, but I get very demonstrative and my hands are waving. That's why I have to put my coffee safely out of range, because that's how I talk. If I try to sit on my hands, I've tried this before, like Matthew is demonstrating, he's just gonna be all straight laced and keep his hands down to his sides. If I tried to sit on my hands and do a radio show, it would be a struggle for me. It would not be nearly as easy. So I talk with my hands, because that's what happens. That's what helps me to form the opinions and come up with the incredible vocabulary that I sport here on the show. So, Matthew was saying heated conversation maybe wasn't as heated as what people thought, because I just get animated and passionate when I'm talking. Now, he has indicated that the negotiations, such as they are, with the Patriots are not necessarily going the way he would like. Now, he's not been overt about that. He won't talk about it right now, except to say that this is not one of his favorite things about being in the NFL.
Football, football business, they're two different things. I love playing football. I love my teammates. I don't like the business of football.
I think that probably be echoed by a lot of players around the league, especially when it feels as though the franchises so often have the upper hands. Now, he has indicated he's not going to forfeit a year of salary, which I think is smart. He doesn't want to lose any money, so he's going to play on the current deal that he has, even if no new extension or renegotiated contract gets done. And I think that's the smartest thing. You know what's worse than not having a new deal? Forfeiting the money from your current deal. There's always the risk of injury, and I think that's the primary concern for a lot of athletes when there's no more guaranteed money on their contracts, or when they feel like for a lot of rookies, they haven't yet gotten that big payday. So I do understand that perspective as well. Once you get hurt, you stand to lose a bunch of guaranteed money. And in the NFL, that's what matters, because the contracts themselves, unless it's written in that they're fully guaranteed, which is rare, essentially what you're playing for is the guaranteed money and potentially the bonuses as well. But I think Matthew's smart, and no doubt he will be a huge asset to Jerod Mayo, including that passion where he talks with his hands. Oh, yes. I can identify. I can relate. Maybe that's the Olympic sport Matthew would win gold in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Ever been, and we have tickets to a Red Sox game. Great tickets. I bought Sean Grandy's tickets. For those of you who know him, he's the longtime play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics. I bought the tickets that he and his wife and his son typically use. But guess what's on the way? The remnants of Debbie. Now, that's not as serious a problem or challenge as having 30 inches of rain in your backyard and your home being flooded, your business is being flooded. I get all of that. I'm not in any way saying that this is a serious matter, only that I'm a little bit bummed because we've had these tickets for a couple months now and the Red Sox are supposed to play my husband's favorite team, the Astros. He is going to wear an Astros hat into Boston. All right, I may or may not admit that I'm with you.
It's not as bad as wearing it at the Yankee Stadium, though.
That's true. That is true. And so we're really excited to go. We've got a friend, a high school friend, coming down from New Hampshire, and she's making up the third person in our party. I just want it to be not a rainout. At the same time, I don't want it to be a four-hour rain delay, so we just have to be sitting around waiting. But I suppose that's better than not playing at all. Anyway, keeping my fingers crossed about that, but really excited, as always, to be back in New England, especially when I get to make it up into New Hampshire. Live free or die, baby. That's my favorite state. If I could live there and I could work there and do this job, I would, but that's not an option at this point. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page, on Twix at A-Law Radio. If blank were an Olympic sport, I would win gold every time. I could go with moving. If packing and moving were an Olympic sport, I would capture gold every freaking time. I am a master at moving.
So, as far as like getting rid of stuff? And,
all of it. No, the purging, the packing boxes, the maximizing space, putting it all into a U-Haul or various vehicles. I am brilliant at that. I've got so much practice.
My mom could definitely use your help because she's they're about to move. So
yeah,
and the hardest thing for her is like getting rid of stuff. So
I feel like one of my greatest achievements in life was moving in 2020 when, as much fun as it sounds, moving in the middle of a pandemic, let me just tell you, it's more fun than that. And I moved 80% of the house myself. 80%. That's all I did. I worked from home and I packed up boxes and moved them to my new place that I had purchased. Yeah.
Yeah. My mom.
Terrific.
People try to tell her, like, does this mean anything to you? Like, does this give you joy?
Like, oh, that's the purging
I remember
style.
There was like some show on Netflix, right? With some lady that would say it was all about being like a minimalist or something. Mm-hmm. And she was like, does this give you joy? Do you need this? And like my mom, to give you an idea of how bad it is, my mom still keeps taxes from like almost 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago.
I do think that that's the case with a lot of older people, especially if they haven't moved. You just accumulate stuff. But having moved so much over the past 25 years, I purge every time. And so I really don't turn into a pack rat. But if you live in one place for a long time, that can definitely be a challenge. So maybe packing and moving. But I tell you, I still have one answer that will trump them all. So while we're talking about New England, not that I'm going to Foxborough, but we hear for the first time from Matthew Judon, the great outside linebacker for the Pats, who has been the topic of many conversations in the area, in New England radio and TV and articles written about it. A conversation that got heated between him and new head coach Jerod Mayo. Now, in the midst of all of this, he's been asking for a renegotiated contract that would pay him more guaranteed money, and he feels like pay him commensurate with what he deserves. And so finally, we end up with his side of the story on Monday.
We had a conversation. I didn't want to be a distraction to the team, so I went inside. I wasn't participating in those drills that day, so I went inside, and then I got a message, so I came back and talked to the GM, our GMs. Then I went back inside. Sorry, I'm animated. I talk with my hands, bro. That's, you know, I'm gonna start talking like this and not be so animated.
If talking with your hands were an Olympic sport, I would capture gold every time. Now, I'm Italian, but Matthew and I share this in that people very often mistake my passion and my animation for anger or frustration. There are people who would say to me, including my husband, this has been a major source of conflict for us. I don't mind telling you, we do not communicate the same way. And he will say to me, why are you yelling at me? I'm not yelling at you. This is just how I talk when I get excited. And my friends, some of them, they get very intimidated because their personalities are the opposite. And when I get passionate, not only does my volume go up, but I get very demonstrative and my hands are waving. That's why I have to put my coffee safely out of range, because that's how I talk. If I try to sit on my hands, I've tried this before, like Matthew is demonstrating, he's just going to be all straight laced and keep his hands down to his sides. If I tried to sit on my hands and do a radio show, it would be a struggle for me. It would not be nearly as easy. So I talk with my hands because that's what happens. That's what helps me to form the opinions and come up with the incredible vocabulary that I sport here on the show. So, Matthew was saying heated conversation maybe wasn't as heated as what people thought because I just get animated and passionate when I'm talking. Now, he has indicated that the negotiations, such as they are, with the Patriots are not necessarily going the way he would like. Now, he's not been overt about that. He won't talk about it right now, except to say that this is not one of his favorite things about being in the NFL.
Football business, they're two different things. I love playing football. I love my teammates. I don't like the business of football.
I think that probably be echoed by a lot of players around the league, especially when it feels as though the franchises so often have the upper hands. Now, he has indicated he's not going to forfeit a year of salary, which I think is smart. He doesn't want to lose any money, so he's going to play on the current deal that he has, even if no new extension or renegotiated contract gets done. And I think that's the smartest thing. You know what's worse than not having a new deal? Forfeiting the money from your current deal. There's always the risk of injury, and I think that's the primary concern for a lot of athletes when there's no more guaranteed money on their contracts, or when they feel like for a lot of rookies, they haven't yet gotten that big payday. So I do understand that perspective as well. Once you get hurt, you stand to lose a bunch of guaranteed money. And in the NFL, that's what matters, because the contracts themselves, unless it's written in that they're fully guaranteed, which is rare, essentially what you're playing for is the guaranteed money and potentially the bonuses as well. But I think Matthew's smart, and no doubt he will be a huge asset to Jerod Mayo, including that passion where he talks with his hands. Oh, yes. I can identify. I can relate. Maybe that's the Olympic sport Matthew would win gold in. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.